Welcome to the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I am Allison Kaczkowski, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in to check out exactly what we're talking about. Self-care means so many things to people. It's one of the reasons I decided to start this show. And you'll hear self-care discussed from a number of different angles in this space. I am grateful to have you with me, and I hope you get a lot out of what I'm going to share with you today.
Hey, everybody, it's Allison Kaczkowski. Thank you for joining me again this week for our flagship show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I am your host. I'm always excited to spend time with you on Tuesday morning, hoping that what we bring you can really set the tone for your week and hopefully for your month. So today, we're going to take a little turn off of the typical topics that you usually hear me talk about. I mean, obviously, over the last several years, we've really established this show as an interview show. And I like to do that because I feel like it's so important to put other people's work and what they stand for out in the world, because how we show up in the world is everything to how we prioritize ourselves. But today we're going to do something a little different. Today I'm joined by Matt Drago, who is an actor, but he and his wife also own a production company and they live out on the West Coast. And we're going to have a conversation around what being creative, you know, how by creating things and putting it out into the world to give people meaning, what that actually looks like. So thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Allison. This is going to be a great conversation. I'm really excited to have it.
Yeah, love it. So obviously you and I were chatting before we got online about, you know, your story. You've obviously lived all over the place. You've worked in the service industry and you've landed in LA. So tell us a little bit more about you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really did. I think from the minute I arrived on this planet, I just, I felt like I had the acting bug inside me. I felt like telling great stories and kind of, you know, using my own imagination to learn a little bit more about the human experience and my own psyche as a kid is where I lived, humble beginnings in rural Virginia. And again, I just couldn't get enough of the theater. I was in all the local theater shows growing up. I think I probably did about 15 to 20 local theater shows. And one of my first paying gigs actually was dinner theater, which was a really great learning experience. And it really taught me the work that was going to go into the dream. Because again, you're on stage, but then you're off stage clearing plates and refilling drinks. So it's a humble practice. And I really felt like I understood from an early age, like this is going to be work and I love the work. And I really was understanding the benefits of it from an early age, too. There was a woman that came off next to the stage door one night, and she was probably in her 70s. And, you know, it was a show that I was doing called MAME, which is a great show. And, you know, just kind of like that mother, son, aunt, you know, nephew dynamic. And she looked at me at one point off stage and she just kind of said, you know, Matt, I really wanted to thank you for tonight. You really spoke to me with your performance, and it really taught me that I need to make an effort to be closer to my son. And I think that was at the moment at 14 or 15 where I understood the immense power of being an actor and how you can really, just really kind of get people a little bit more in touch with, like I say, their good emotions. And so it really just fueled me to my next step and going to New York City. And I say moving back home. I'm a grandma's boy. So even though both of my parents were originally from New York City and moved to Virginia, when I moved back to New York City, it felt like I was moving home. And it really was. It was incredible to be sheltered, to feel like I had a place to come home to every night, but also to really just spread my wings and to really learn the craft of acting in New York City.
Yeah, well, and it's like it was a good place for you to start. I mean, talk about throwing you right in. You know, you either sink or swim.
100%. And I did. I took full advantage of it. I trained with the best acting teachers that I could find. I asked questions. I, you know, hung out at Actors Equity. For your listeners, that's the Broadway union. So I would stay there for like 8 hours and audition. And again, I just like, city that never sleeps. I think I probably was one of the non-sleepers there because I just took advantage of everything that I could.
Yeah, I love that because you kind of went into it with the expectation and the intention that you were going to get top value out of the experience. And that's really what it's all about.
100%.
Yeah, love that. So then fast forward, you ended up in LA, which is where you live now.
It was, again, you're always on this journey, I think, as an artist, and you kind of have this artist brain of like where things are going to lead you. Ironically, one of the teachers that I had out of college was like a grandfather to me and, you know, would tell me things that I needed to hear and just a true nurturer and lover of actors. And he's had a studio there for, gosh, I think like 4 or 5 decades now. He had, you know, worked with Lee Strasberg and was just a master of craft. He kind of knew all the different, you know, processes of acting. And so I really gravitated towards him. And I think I was on his wait list for like a year before I even got into his class. But that's the great Terry Schreiber. Some actors there starred, including Edward Norton. And so he was a really big proponent of, you know, just kind of telling actors what they needed to hear. And I was at a point where I was really close to a couple Broadway gigs. And I say close, like final callback, you know, which is sometimes harder than, you know, getting like what Ben Affleck and Matt Damon jokingly said, like, yes, thanks, you know, like where you're not even close.
Right.
But like, you know, it was I could taste it and I just didn't quite get there. And so I was getting a little down on myself. And it's probably a conversation that changed my life. And he brought me into his office and he said, you know, Matt, like, I don't want you to get down on yourself. I see your work. I see your work ethic. I see how much you want this. I see how much you're blossoming in my class. And I just really feel like, you know, maybe you should give LA a shot. Like, I see, you know, your work, and I feel like it could be very tailored to TV and film. Unbeknownst to him, I had literally met a girl right next door in a TV and film acting class. So I guess I was sort of already interested in it, taught by a couple, Peter and Diane Miner. And Peter was the director of One Life to Live for about a decade. Soap opera. Yeah. And so, you know, I was paired together with this girl for a scene from Say Anything, the breakup scene, the John Cusack movie where she gives him the pen. And she wasn't at the first class. And so we met up at grandma's apartment. And I just remember that day fumbling through, you know, the scene and looking at the call sheet. And I noticed that we had the same area code. And at one point I looked at her and I said, hey, where are you from in Virginia? Because I'm from Virginia. I have a 5-4 area code, too. And she looked at me and she said, Front Royal. And I said, excuse me. And she said, Front Royal, Virginia. Have you heard of it? And I looked at her in that moment on 79th and Broadway. And I said, I'm from Front Royal. And she was like, no, get out of here. And I was like, no, seriously, my dad's the karate guy across from the Main Street Cinema. I know this person. I know this person. Well, what does your family do? And she said, well, my family owns the Apple House, which is a small little country store right off the interstate that only somebody in that area would know. On 79th and Broadway, I literally said, look at my dresser. There were 3 things with the price tag still on them from the Apple House. And so at that point, I looked at her and I said, well, we've already gotten the breakup out of the way. Are you ready to go out on a date? And my girlfriend then, now my wife, she was a big proponent of trying to do this big move in our lives and try out LA. And I feel like if I hadn't had Terry and I hadn't had her, because it was so hard to leave my grandmother, I don't know if I would have had that, you know, impetus to make this big switch in my life. But when we came out to LA, it just really felt like home in many ways. And the journey continues out here.
I love that. I love that story. It's just, there are just so many cool things about that story where, you know, you could say it was right place, right time. You could say it was, you know, meant to be that you met your wife. I mean, you know, there are just some things you just cannot make up. And
right.
You couldn't schedule how that happened. So, and I personally believe there are no accidents in life. You know, everything that happens is supposed to be happening. It's really the meaning that we take from it that's the most important thing. And I know some people listening may not like it when I say that, but that's really the truth of it. Life is always happening for us, not to us. So now you've done a lot of acting gigs and you and your wife have a production company.
Yeah, it's definitely something that we're taking as our next step. I think, you know, through being on set as an actor, I've learned, and I think this will always be true, that acting is, you know, the first love of my life. But even more so than acting, I really truly love collaborating because there are so many masters of craft on a film set, you know, whether it be your, you know, production designer, you know, making sure that everything in the frame is just right, you know, just making sure that that craft or, you know, the costume design, or, you know, the lighting design or the sound design or, you know, the producing. I mean, producing is like basically the juggler, right? Or, you know, the director, the writer, you know? So there's so many moving parts to film. And I think for me, I've realized that I just love collaborating. And I think that's something that because she was an actor, and I should say she always will be. She went to NYU Tisch, but now she's kind of found a new love in writing. She's one of the 5 fellows this year in Project Involve, at Film Independent. And because of that, like, she's really dived deep into writing. She's got like 6 or 7 scripts. She won Best Podcast Script at Austin Film Festival. She's won a couple awards for this film that we're trying to produce in the next couple years. And so I think it's, kind of this full circle moment where I don't want to just limit myself to just being an actor. I really want to collaborate and be a little bit more in control of the stories that I tell. And there's literally no better person to collaborate with than somebody that you love.
Yeah, I love that. And I just love the whole idea around that. It's you're taking something that you're really passionate about. You're collaborating and figuring out a way to not just put it out in the world, but show people the power of your example. Because really what's coming up for me and you talking about your story and your stick-to-itiveness, acting the film world is no joke. I mean, it is like feast or famine for some people. Maybe it is like that all the time. I don't know. But it takes a hell of a lot of guts and belief in yourself to be able to do that. But you just seem to keep going. So speak about that.
Yeah, I think for me, it's never been a question of, is there a plan B? Like, am I going to give up on this? For me, it's always been, if I take that bartending job, it's to support the dream. When I moved out to LA, I didn't have a job, and so I actually became the top task rabbit in all of LA, cleaning people's houses, organizing their closets, working there, working in their backyards or painting their bookshelves. And it's one of those things where some people would be like, oh man, he was struggling. Well, I never looked at it that way. I was looking at it like character building. It showed me my commitment to the dream. It showed me my commitment to myself, the fact that I wasn't willing to give up. And so there's a lot of pride that I take with those long nights in the bars in New York City till 4 or 5 a.m. There's a lot of pride that I take, because again, I was never given this. I don't come from any connections. I say that I have two artists, as a mom and a dad. My mom is a choreographer and a dancer, and my dad is a lifelong martial artist and a sensei, but, no connections to the, film industry, no connections to the acting industry. And so I think that, I had art around me in many ways growing up, but, it was definitely something where I was going to have to carve out my own path. And I think, again, like, you look for where the path is going to take you.
Absolutely.
I think, like, you spoke to it. It's like, there's no, there's no fluke. The fact that Laura, came into my life when I probably needed a change, and she was a big, there's no accidents, right? And, I sought people like, Terry Schreiber that could be teachers. And again, you always are kind of looking for where the path is going to take you. And you're willing to work for it. And when you are willing to work for it, those wins are your own. And I think that that's something that I've always taken to heart, is that, I don't give myself a plan B. This is something that I love. This is my life. And this is something that I'll never just, give up on, because then I'd be giving up on a part of myself.
Exactly. And I could not have said it any better. And that right then and there is like the power of how you prioritize yourself, because you are, going after your dreams, and you're telling yourself. What I really like about your story is, obviously one of the many things that I respect about your story is that you're like, I'm not giving myself a plan B. I mean, this is what I want to do, and this is what I'm put on this earth to do. And, the path is going to appear in front of me. So it's like, I think what we forget sometimes when we're working on something, whether it's a personal goal in business or whether it's a health and fitness goal or a financial goal or anything else, is, we sort of get sold a bill of goods that if we do X, Y, and Z, it'll show up. And to some degree, it does. But at the same time, sometimes it doesn't show up in the way that we think. And the key is not to say, well, this isn't working, I'm going to switch and do something else. The key is to really sit with it and say, look, do I still want to keep doing this? And in your case, you're like, nope, that's not an option. I'm going to keep going. And I think that's just a really important point for people listening to hear.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, again, like, if you really love the craft of what you do, if you're passionate about some kind of dream or goal in your life, then, you really do. You need to enjoy that journey, because I do believe that the journey is the destination in many ways in life. Like, the bumps and bruises along the way are something that you should really take pride in. The things that you've had to overcome are things that you need to take pride in. And yeah. I think that that's kind of the way I've always operated. And for me, it's always been about the relationships. You know, I just love actors. I love collaborators. I love people on set. Like, I love, like they become like family to me because they align with who I am. And so there's so much joy that I get just being around those people. And again, I think that that's kind of a big part of who I am, is that I've always just sought people that align with me and want to tell great stories and believe in things that are bigger than themselves, which is what a film is, right? Because you need everybody. And so I think that's, you know, when I'm on a set or, you know, on stage and around my people, I feel like I'm home.
Yeah, I love that. So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Cellevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled cellevate.com, which is cellev8.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this. I love that. And I love how you, what you just said, and then I'm going to move on about who you surround yourself with. This is so important. It's important in business. It's important in life, because I do think that we get to certain points in our life and we outgrow people, whether they're friends, whether they're like acquaintances, even clients. And I feel like you get to a point and you really have to take a long, hard look at who is in your circle. Who are you listening to? Who are you being influenced by? And are those people in your circle, are they cheering you on? Or are they just saying what you want to hear, to your point? So that's just so important. So I'm so glad you mentioned that.
It's pivotal. I mean, honestly, like, you have to be around people that lift you up and never bring you down. You know, it's so important, especially for, you know, anybody that's, you know, in touch with their emotions as an artist, because it's very easy to stray the path. And I look at like some of my core friends in my life growing up in Virginia, and they've been my truest supporters through and through. They have seen me at, you know, my lowest points, and I'll never forget that. And so, you know, when I get a win in my life, or, you know, a break, or, you know, something good happens, like, I look back on those relationships because those are the people that were, have been my foundation for my entire journey. And those are the people that I know have supported me since I've been a little kid, you know, dreaming of this dream in Virginia. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just think that, you know, in today's world, it's so easy to compare ourselves to other people and to get, you know, sort of try to make ourselves fit into a mold that somebody that we love and respect may have for us. And so I just don't think you can say enough what you're saying. That's why anytime I have the opportunity to bring it out of a guest, I want you to shout it from the housetops.
I'm always willing to shout that one out, because again, it's very painful sometimes to, you know, let people go in your life that are bringing you down. But you need to, you know, always be introspective, you know, because again, that can make you stray from your path. It can get you to a place where you don't even realize why you're so down or why you don't feel supported. And, you know, I've had to do that in my life, and it's painful. But it always is for the best too. And so I think that when you do that, like,
I also think too, that you have to be humble. You know, you have to be open to getting feedback, even if it's not what you want to hear, or if somebody has to dress you down for a little bit. I mean, hopefully it's in a loving way.
But sometimes feedback just needs to be harsh and direct. You know, sometimes that's just what we need to hear. You know, we always want people that we love and respect to tell us the truth, not just what we want to hear. And I think there's a way that you can do it with kindness and not be, you know, not just completely, you know, be disrespectful.
100%. Yep.
Yeah. Love it. So tell us, though, I'm sure people are wondering, you live in LA, you're an actor, you and your wife have a production company, you also sell real estate. How do you manage to make time for yourself?
Not always easy, but I do. I find, you know, little escapes. I think that that is very key to anyone. It doesn't matter whether you're in a creative field or not. If you're passionate about something, you need to find ways to escape from it and ground yourself in other things that you enjoy. You know, I'm a big sports fan. You know, football is my religion. My Sundays on the couch with my wife and my doggy are really important to me. Again, you know, I grew up in a dojo. I'm a fourth degree black belt. My father's my sensei. So, you know, sometimes I'll need to get outside to the park and do some katas and just escape that way. You know, I'm a big fitness buff like you, Allison. So, you know, that's a big escape for me as well. And I think that that is something that keeps you balanced, right? Because you can't be all in all the time or you'll burn yourself out. Oh. And so I think for, you know, me, it's finding ways to, you know, just escape, you know, to love other things outside of, you know, my main goal and my main love in life. And I think through that, it really keeps me balanced and motivated.
Yeah, I love how you just said, it's really more about creating balance because we're not meant to live our lives, you know, in like as a one-trick pony, right? I mean, we're meant to live our lives like we're supposed to be fulfilled, you know, we're supposed to have, you know, live our lives on purpose. And, you know, the it's what I always like to say, the tap of abundance is always open. What shuts it off is what we think and what we do.
Couldn't have said it better.
Yeah. Because I feel like there are a lot of people out there who think that maybe they're not destined for success or maybe they don't deserve to be happy. And it all starts with what you're saying to yourself. It all starts with the relationship you have with yourself and how you prioritize yourself. And so, you know, your story of, you know, working your ass off to get to where you are and, you know, but recognizing that, look, I'm going to watch football on Sunday and I'm going to go out to the park and I'm going to, you know, work out and I'm going to go do the things I want because that's how life's supposed to be lived.
It's necessary, you know, because again, like you have to keep your dreams safe. And if you're burning yourself out at both ends all the time and you're all in all the time and constantly just thinking about one thing, like it really becomes more of an obsession and less of a joy. And I think that that's something that I've learned. There have been times in my life, you know, in New York City where I felt like I was trying to please others in my art. And I think that that's a trap. You know, whether it's an agent, oh, I have to book this job because of my agent, or I have to really impress this person. No, like you need to dare to fail and you need to dare to be messy sometimes. And you need to, you know, really do it for yourself. And that sounds so obvious, but like sometimes you really can get off the track sometimes when you feel like you're doing it for others because it's your unique art. It's your life. Right. And so I definitely have had those learning curves in my life. And every time I get a younger actor that's kind of, you know, been, you know, just starting out, I try to steer them in the right direction and hopefully, you know, help them learn from some of the mistakes that I've made.
Yeah, I love that. I just love that you're just like, this is me, this is what I want, and I'm going for it. I just think we need people to be talking about that more because there's just a lot of people in the world that think success has passed them by. You know, or that ship has sailed or whatever else. So what is your best piece of advice? Last question before we wrap up. What's your best piece of advice for the person listening who maybe just needs a little encouragement? Maybe they just feel like that ship has sailed and maybe they just need something concrete that they can go on. What do you say to that person?
Continue to find the joy in the practice in whatever you do. Again, if it's something that's a dream or something that you're passionate about, continue to be joyful. And if it doesn't bring you joy anymore, maybe it's time to move on to something else that does. And that can be hard. But again, like, you know, for me, acting has always brought me so much joy. When I get an audition, that's a win for me. Like I find so much joy in bringing myself to a character. I get excited about it, you know? And so again, that's how I know that I love it. And you have to check in on, you know, something that you are passionate about and that is your dream. but it's okay to let it go. I mean, you know, there are times in my life, even growing up, where I took, you know, momentary breaks with acting. And I remember there was a time where I was probably like 10 or 11. And I told my mom, like, I don't want to do this right now. I don't want to audition. And she said, okay, you know, and I think I got into sports a little bit at that point and, you know, played baseball a little bit more with my dad and, you know, focused a little bit more on karate. And then when I found it again, I was like really all in again, because it was something that I felt like I was missing. So
yeah,
again,
and sometimes I think we need a break, you know, if that's yes. You know, even the right word to use. But I think we have to be very careful how we define a break and how we do it. Because I do think that for some people, once they take a break, they just never go back to it. You know, and then the excuse is like, well, it just didn't work or whatever, when really it's just you just weren't committed.
Well, yeah. And I mean, there is a lot of commitment that comes with an artistic path, because, again, there is no clear path, you know, for, you know, success or sustainability. But I do think that if you have joy in what you're doing, I believe you become a beacon of light. I believe that you attract people to you. And you become just a center of joy where people want to work with you. Again, this is a people business. You're on set with people for a month or 2 months. And again, these are people that, you know, you might see again down the road. So I think that more than just being an actor, it's being in service to the story that you're telling. It's being a piece to the puzzle. It's being a problem solver, and it's being a true collaborator. And I think that's something that I've learned in my life. And I say that I really do. I feel like I'm in the sweetest spot of my career right now, because I just am really enjoying it. I'm so appreciative of where the journey has taken me and all of the things that I've had to overcome to get here. And I think that's why I am so grateful to call myself an actor.
Yeah. And I love that perspective, because it's really being in that gratitude space where we realize just how much we've accomplished. I mean, you know, to get to where you are, you didn't just wake up one day and decide this is what you're going to do, you know? And I think, you know, we sort of are a little bit obsessed in this country with overnight successes. And it's just the real success comes in staying committed, because not only do you learn a lot about yourself, but you teach yourself that you can really do hard and challenging things. And that's really where you find the gold.
And that's something that is very true. I mean, in acting especially, you know, this is what many could consider in somewhere in Montana, a big break for me. But in many ways, it's you know, just a showcase of maybe what I've always been capable of, because I've been an actor my whole life. And so, you know, I had some great feedback from a couple actor friends at a premiere recently. And you know, one of the panelists said, to the director, you know, you cast some unknown actors for this. And one of my friends, Garrett Dillahunt, who has been just an incredible working actor for a long time, he looked at me, and I know what he meant by it. And it was a real gift. He looked at me and he's like, but you've been acting your whole life. And it was basically like, you know, for someone that's had the success that he's had in his career, basically to say, listen, you're as much of an actor as I am, was a real gift. It's why I consider him such a friend. And that's a big part of it too. You know, somewhere in Montana, I always say, like, I've already won because of these relationships I have with Michelle Hurd, who's become a big sister in my life, you know, Graham McTavish, who's, you know, a friend, and, yeah. You know, the first person that's called me mate, which is a sign of Scottish camaraderie, because we built a big story together and we told it proudly. And so these relationships, like, are a reason why I've already won with this film. And that's the way that you need to look at it. Like, relationships like that are gold, and you keep those people close because they are the people in your life that will lift you up and never bring you down.
Yeah, I love that. Love that. Very well said. So how can people connect with you?
Absolutely. You know, Instagram is pretty much my one and only social media platform that I'm active on. So so give me a follow at Matt Drago, MattDrago, at Matt Drago. From there, you've got my link tree. It's got my websites, both my acting website, MattDrago.com, my production company website with my wife, DragonHunterProductions.com. Fun fact, her maiden name is Hunter. So Drago N. Hunter. Makes Dragon Hunter Production. It kind of worked out.
Love it.
It's also got my IMDb if you want to look up my past and future projects. And I basically share everything there, whether it be personal or professional, because they're one and the same for me. So give me a follow there and you'll be all in the know for my journey as an actor and a person
in
life.
Fantastic. So anyone out there listening, thank you for making time to talk to me today. I know we had to do some moving around with the schedule, but I really appreciate your flexibility. Thank you.
Allison, it has been a pleasure. Again, I look at these interviews as part of my journey, so I really appreciate the platform today and really enjoyed this really insightful conversation. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, because look, we have to, sometimes our example is what changes things for someone else. And that's one of the things that drives me every single day in my work is that, look, there are plenty of days when I don't want to show up, when I just want to mail it in and sleep in and whatever. And sometimes that's totally okay. I'm not saying don't ever do that. But what really keeps me going is my example is what's going to be impactful for other people. And that's all on me. That is my responsibility to deliver that. So I really appreciate you sharing that. And folks out there listening, if you, what we talked about today, we really didn't take the traditional route where we're talking about like a method or anything that, you know, is that you could like implement into your life right away. Really, my focus of this conversation was just not just to let Matt tell a story, but to let you hear his commitment to himself, because our relationship with ourselves is all about how committed we are to ourselves. And it can look any number of different ways. And so maybe you might want to bookmark this episode for a day or a time in your life when maybe you're going to want some encouragement and some inspiration. And on that note, if you know anybody in your life that you think really needs to hear this, please copy the link. We're on every major podcast platform there is, and send it to them as a free gift from me, or you're welcome to connect with me on my website, www.theallisonk.com. That's Allison with one L, and just hit the connect button. It's in the upper right-hand corner of the website, and just write to me and we'll take care of it for you. And on that note, please know that my DMs are open. If you have feedback for us, if you're feeling inclined to leave us a review, we always appreciate those. If you'll screenshot your review and send it to me, I will send you a free gift as a token of my appreciation, because I know your time is valuable. So this is what I have for you this week. Like every week, I always want to bring you amazing value. And hopefully what we talked about today will give you at least one nugget or two that you can implement in your life today or even tomorrow. So just know, whether you're following me today for the very first time or whether you've been a regular listener for a while, just know that I do consider you part of my family. And I'm grateful for each and every one of you, because you guys are the reason why I show up every week and I do this. So that's what I got for you this week on the podcast. This is the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. You are one step closer to living your ultimate life. So make it a good one.